That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from a snowy radio ranch this Saturday morning, March 5th. And we welcome you here. We say good morning, and we'll bring the men on. And Brother Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Amen. We're sure glad to have you. And Brother Paul, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And again, Remnant, welcome. We'll have the phone lines open today. If you have a question or a comment, plenty going on in the world, plenty to pray about. And, you know, we have no script for this, never have for this program. It's get up in the morning and get your coffee and have your Bible open and, you know, get your prayers done and get on the radio. And where it goes, who knows? But that's a good thing. It's when you have like-minded Christians that gather together, you just never know where that's going to go. So, but we're going to open with prayer. Paul, we'd ask if you would do the honors for that this morning.
My Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of God, and we ask your blessing on this program. It would be a light to some people, Lord, in this dark world that we have, because your word is a light. Your word is a sword. It's a winning sword, Lord, and we pray that you'll show us what's going on. If we look to the news, we know nothing, but we look to you, you know the outcome, Lord, and that Israel will never be destroyed completely, but it will be chastised, Lord, and we pray that this will be a blessing to the people that listen to it. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. And Remnant, along the lines with Paul's prayer, I'd like to encourage you, if you're reading the Bible, great. You moved out of Genesis into Exodus 1 today, and the first couple of chapters in Exodus just they just hit home. They explain so much. I think with what's going on today and in our nation, what's going on in our nation, it's not all about the Ukraine, that's for sure. But, you know, in Exodus 1, a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And that is what has happened in this nation, is a new king, a new government. Oh, we call it the shadow government. We call it the black ops. We call it, you know, all types of things. But that's what's happened, is a new king and those that follow that new king that does not know Joseph, that doesn't know Joseph's God. That's, I think, a good summary of where we are as a nation. A new king, a new government, a new system has arisen in this once blessed and mighty nation that does not care for God or his people, and has the same attitude that that king in Egypt had. And I won't take all morning to go over that, but I encourage you, Remnant, to go and read that. Read Exodus 1 with that in mind. Because for, you know, when you read that, the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty so that the land was filled with them. And when you understand that at one time this land was filled with those people, just a couple generations ago. But my, how things have changed. And so I do encourage you to look at it, to read it, to see. Pray for your eyes to be opened, for you to see God's plan working out in this nation, just like it worked out in that nation so long ago. Anyway, just my opening thoughts this morning. Again, people, I would encourage you to read the Word. You'll find, as you said, Paul, much more comfort and much more truth in the Word than you will on the nightly news.
Boy, we just have to take God at His word. You know, that everything. What did a guy say to me this week? It was very profound. And he heard another sermon last Sunday. Don't let something you know is true be knock you off guard from that something that's going on that you don't know what's going on. You know, and that's and what that amounts to. Keep your eyes on God. And what that said, I didn't say it exactly right, but that's what it meant. But it was just profound. We take God's word and just stand on it like a Missouri mule. Don't be moved. You know, you don't have to be obnoxious about it, but you got to, you know, I had a tape one time, the difference between choice and conviction. You know, is this a choice we make or is it a conviction? You know, and that's a profound thought, too, when you have a conviction which is based on God's word, and then you just don't move. But most people don't know conviction between stubbornness. You know, they look the same from the road, you know, but you know the difference.
Amen. Amen. Well, and you talk to these younger guys and, you know, I listen to some of the things that are said and it's like, yeah, I was there 30 years ago. I remember that. I remember thinking that. I remember feeling that way. And that seasoning and that, other stuff, you know, we have to be careful that it doesn't leave us bitter or that it doesn't leave us, jaded. But, God's power is all encompassing. You know, and all surrounding. So, and nothing goes on except by His sake. I mean, and a lot of times, I've had a lot of questions this week. What's going on in Ukraine? What do you think's going on down there? And it's like, you know what? I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty convinced that whatever it is not what they're telling me it is. I mean, I know that, but I don't know the whole reasoning behind it. But I know my father does, you know, and he's got it well in him. So I need to be about the other business that goes on that he's given me to take care of, and we move on from there. But there's, you know, they have that pastor talked about that years ago. It's no less true today. They have that pull in case of emergency chain or break glass or, you know, whatever you want to see in your mind's eye.
Yes.
When things get out of control, that's the thing. And it's war, you know, or whatever. They reach over, pull the chain, break the glass and pull the switch or whatever. And their time's short. They know that. You know, they know that their judgment, their recompense, their godly retaliation is on the way. And they're terrified. And just like a dog in a corner or, you know, a snake in his death throes, there's these things going on. And, I mean, it's an attention diverter, and it's a unifying thing for people whenever there's a war situation. I know that's going on. We see those sort of things happen. So if somebody asks me why or what all the details are, I don't know. I don't understand their reasoning behind it. But I know the Father sits on the throne and regulates it, all things. So,
amen to that. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning. 307 is the area code, 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment, and we'll do our best to answer that. Throughout the New Testament, in the Gospels, we read that, you know, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. And I think that's where we have to hold. We have to not be frightened. This is not the end. This is the beginning and the continuation. It talks about of the birth pangs, and then the end will come. If those people in the Ukraine believe in Jesus Christ, if they are His, what is it that it takes? And I think in this nation we would do good to pay close attention to that. What is it that it takes for God's people to turn back to Him? Usually destruction like this. Usually destruction. So I agree with you, Tim. I don't know the details. I don't know, you know, I can't point to where it fits in prophecy or this or that. I think it's one of the wars and rumors of wars. And this world that we exist in, this society, is one of death and destruction. And not, you know, it does not seek the abundant life of Christ. But, you know, we can come out of that. And we're told to come out of that, to come out of her, my people, many different times in the Word. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to, not be taken in by this in the world. There has been wars and rumors of wars, and that continues on. But there's other things going on as well. Who knows what's going on in, in North Korea, China? You can bet that they're not just sitting back and putting everything on pause and hold and waiting, to resume, their growth and expansion plans. Not at all. Well, I don't know if you guys heard. It kind of made the rounds on some of the emails and whatnot that go through, but the announcement came out that Mr. Hoskins had passed away. He was born in 1928. He passed away the end of January of this year. The paperwork I saw was that he passed peacefully, surrounded by his family. And at 93 years old, I think that's certainly a blessing from God. We talk about that, but it really is. I think it is. And had had Mr. Hoskins at camps over the years, when he could still travel and whatnot, and audio recordings at camps, and of course we carry his books and What a Christian statesman, and what an honor to have met him and to have heard him share the truths from the Word and the truths that are in the world as well.
Absolutely. He was a blessing to a lot of us.
Yes.
He had wonderful godly perspectives on a lot of things and a lot of common sense there too, So he wasn't so heavenly minded. He was no earthly good. And
amen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was one of those things. Well, and it's interesting that through all of these things, there's all this attention being diverted, and it's like that caller. We had a caller a couple of weeks ago, maybe a little longer than that. Time sometimes slips a little further away from me than I. But they were talking about all these people coming across from the southern border, everything. And everybody's all worried about these battles everywhere else. And like was said, these other countries, they're not missing a step on their plan. But the problem is we think that we need to be looking somewhere else, and probably what we need to be doing, good common sense would dictate that we ought to be saying, what do they not want us to see in our own place, And there's basically all this stuff from down south. What happened to the child trafficking information? I mean, that was huge. They were showing human trafficking and child trafficking all the way up into the upper echelons of the governmental structure and everything. That's all gone kind of quiet. It's hard to find. They were bringing down those sons of hell that were doing that kind of stuff. And there's this breaking of our agricultural base here right now, which is, in my mind's eye, the only thing that these higher fuel prices are about, because according to what I read economically, given the price of, diesel just went to like $4 a gallon here. So, when you look at those sorts of things, everything in the country from ag all the way through manufacturing, requires that to be completed. That's nothing but an attack. If you want to attack a country or a economic group or policy, well, the first thing you do in wartime is cut their supply lines, and fuel is the number one thing you want to deny them.
Yes.
If you can deny them fuel, you have crippled the economy to the point that it nothing can happen. And anybody who studies history knows that, especially military history or anything like that, or asymmetric warfare in any way, realizes that the cutting of supply lines is a big deal, and fuel is the number one item. So we're seeing that go on, or the attempt of that to go on in our country. We're not short on oil, and according to all the economists, given the prices of fuel right now, oil should be at about $200 a barrel. And it's not. So just ask yourself, hey, where's all that going? Where's all that profit, that greediness? Who's cleaning up? Because it's happened. And, I'll come out and say right now that I'm quite sure that all these oil companies are going to have the best year they've ever had.
Yes.
They
have been having.
So,
you look at the last couple of years when we've had the, inflation, the worst in 40 years, and prices have gone up. Fuel has gone up tremendously at the pump. But, yeah, the per barrel is still sitting, in the low hundreds. And you see that the oil industry, they do. They're, record profits. And that's how it is. They make more and more off of the people, and the people get by with lesser and lesser and have more burdens upon them. I saw this week, I saw fuel go out here from 320 to 350 to 375 this week. This week. And that was just as the, you know, I get fuel up at a little local guy, and as he was getting deliveries, that's how that reflected. Now, he's not making another 20 or 40 or 50 cents a gallon, you know. But like you said, Tim,
no,
somebody is, but it's not the local guy. It's not the guy that pays the taxes here. It's not the guy that supports the local baseball team. It's not that guy making more money.
No, it's the same way with our farmers. These food prices are going up, and their burden due to increased fuel prices and increased everything else have not gone up. They're making less, and they were already making too little. But that's one of those gather your own straw, make your own bricks thing. And that's another thing. Get your head down and get to work, and quit being a mad mom down there at the school over the mask mandate,
right,
having a fit, or quit being quit. Why not? You know. So we're seeing that kind of stuff go on all around here, and that's when we want to start looking around and trying to understand what's going on. And that's when we should be praying for our God to save us, because that's the only thing that's going to save us. And, he's – and think of all of the people. I mean, to me, it's astounding. I look at the amount of people that are waking up to the power of God, because basically, let's be frank, there isn't any place else to turn right now. I had one rancher in here the other day, and he was talking to me, and he said, "Oh yeah, they're talking about doing some subsidies on cattle and stuff." And he said, "Well, we all know how that works out. The more they help, the faster you fall, you know." And this is a guy who, I've known him for a long time. This is a guy who 10 years ago wouldn't have said that, you know. I mean,
yes.
It's like the old rabbit pellet thing Peter used to talk about. You're getting smarter.
Getting smarter. Know? That's right. And people are realizing that, Tim, that there is nowhere else to go. They're seeing the, just like you mentioned, look how well that helped the dairy industry, you know, has pretty much knocked out over the last couple generations almost all the family dairies. It's a lot different, folks, that gallon of raw milk that you buy down the road that you got to drink in a few days because it'll go bad and you'll smell it. But that's living in life, and it's a lot different that than that that sits on the shelf in the grocery store for 3 months. That makes somebody profit, but not the dairyman. And so it is good, like you said, Tim, that people are waking up to that. They are seeing that, hey, wait a minute, this didn't work. It didn't work there, and it didn't work, anywhere else. It's not going to work when it comes to me.
I think one thing I understand, the system's been real good to some people. You go up north by the Traverse City area, I drive into there last fall, and they had all these Biden signs about 10 to 1 to Trump, but they're all wealthy people. It's been really good to them, and they don't want to see it go. And it's been real good to them, but the small people that are willing to work and be one independent is suffering bad. I do believe there's a transition going on before our very eyes. You know, you talk about inflation, but God's word is true. He said your money will turn to dross. You have a ton of it, but won't buy nothing. And alien coming in here, he said the alien will rule over you. You see, we've lost our way. This is judgment from God is what it really amounts to. And I think, like you said, adversity brings us back to God more than wealth and government programs and ease, because people got a pocket full of money, what they're doing today, but you go down to the grocery store and they're just drying up like crazy. There's nothing on the shelves.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's biblical. I mean, you know, it says they had these times of plenty, and then they fell away from the Lord, you know, and then God brought adversity into their lives, and they came back to God, and then God restored them. And it's a cycle that, I mean, really, if you read the whole Bible, it's just that way over and over and over. Which part of the cycle are they in right now? And the hearts of men have not changed, or actually, I'm going to say, not so much that as the intent of our enemies. And I think that the hearts of men they wax, you know, proud. They wax stupid, really. I mean, Peter used to say, you know, I get tired of seeing all these guys try to fly with the eagles when they're a bunch of stupid sheep. And I think sometimes that's where we're at. We run around there, and when things are going good, like we're all, you know, big and bad and able to handle everything, and then you finally come back down to earth in the midst of the adversity and realize that you're just a sheep and you need your shepherd. And humility is one of those things God will. And I told my children that all the time. You know, don't forget to be humble before your God, because He doesn't take it well when you're not.
Yes.
Everything you have, you owe to Him. And if you don't acknowledge that fact, it's just like a drunk saying, I have a drinking problem. You know, that's the first key to recovery. I mean, if you can't admit you have a problem, well, as God's people, we have a humility issue. And if you can't admit that, you can't have some humility, you're never going to break that cycle. That's where it's at, and that is one of the first things. You need God. You need His salvation. You need His baptism, and you need His guidance and daily care. And the minute you think you don't, you have a humility issue. You just took another drink out of that bottle, and it will, and your destruction or your adversity will come from God. I mean, whatever He uses for a stick to beat you with to correct you, is immaterial. The fact is that it's coming, you know. So that's one of those things. The Bible says that God loves a broken and contrite heart, and that He won't despise that, you know. And I think a lot of times we forget that. We need to have some of that before our God. We need to have a lot of it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, I saw a little humility here. Saw a little humility here this past week. A little town just to the west of us, Rawlins. Just, I don't know, 15,000 people. Not a big town. And just a drop in the bucket, pun intended, when it comes to the grand scheme of things here. But they ran out of water. Their water, they've been having issues with their, you know, their domestic water supply. And it suffered, they labeled it an extensive failure Thursday morning, just as the supposedly recently repaired water pipeline was coming back online. And so they basically closed the schools, closed the businesses, because the water was either non-existent or it was bad. And, excuse me. And they had to basically shut down everything. Pardon me, I'm near sneezing, having to mute the mic. So, of course, they activated their EMA. And now they're out on the interstate, but, you know, their grocery stores were limiting everybody to a case of water for drinking water. And a heavy agricultural community. And so, you know, you've got cattle and sheep and all that, I saw a picture, they were scrounging they have a huge recycling center for really that small a town, which is a good thing, I think. But they were scrounging in the recycle center for jugs. You know, milk jugs, water jugs, empty jugs that would still hold water, that they could go to the neighboring, they were taking truckloads of this stuff for stock water, you know, for just for something like that. And it just, it was, I thought that when I saw that, I thought, you know, boy, that's humbling. You know, you're used to just, like we are here at the ranch. I mean, we've got, heated waterers for the cattle. And so even when it's, you know, when it's cold, you've got, the water lines are buried. And as long as you have power and the well's working, and I mean, a lot of stuff has to come together. And all that just went kaput in Rollins. And so I thought, you know, nobody was expecting that. Nobody was. It caught everybody off guard on Thursday. And it shut the town down. It closed all the businesses because everybody was having to work on just getting water. Water to drink, water to operate things in your homes, your bathroom, and that type thing, and for the livestock. And I thought, you know, they weren't prepared for that, because who is? But something just that simple, talk about changing everything, changing the circumstances, changing everything immediately. And it should be an eye-opener when we see things like that. You know, we had, what was it, Flint, Michigan, that a town of, what, millions, that had the big water issue a couple years ago, and they had to do that. They had to bring in bottled water and just a huge issue. And so it, you know, like you mentioned, Tim, everybody thinks that everything is just fine. Things are going good. People are building houses, and you mentioned it, Paul, that, you know, some people have done very well in this system. But this system is so delicate, and it doesn't take much to really to bring it down, or to change it dramatically. How about that?
It's extremely fragile. Like you said, you shut that whole town just for water. You know, and that can happen real quickly. And the whole,
yes,
power system, the whole power system, the phone system, everybody's getting rid of their landlines. Well, what if that satellite don't work so good, you know? Well, it's a fragile system. Very fragile. And that's really the trouble is, we've turned to the wrong God. You know, I was going to mention before, you go into the book of Acts, when they lived godly, they didn't know what to do with their money. And they just were... When you do things God's way, you just don't even know what to do with your blessings. So we've forgotten him as a nation bad. You know, I was thinking about Mr. Hoskins. I think his grandpa, he would not set his foot in the church. You know, and this organized religion is leading us right down the bloody path to the same stupid thing. You know, that little card it came up with, you know, the three things they're never preaching in these churches: what sin is, baptism for remission of sin, and who Jesus sent for. But you'll never hear that in a Judeo-Christian church.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and it's one of those things. I mean, when Christ was talking to Peter, you know, you love me, feed my sheep. And we've got a lot of these modern day mainstream churches, and I mean a lot of them, that, boy, they're really big on the evangelistic drives and everything, but the sheep starve to death at the end of the day. You know, they don't shepherd, they don't help them to grow in that Christian walk. And it's no wonder that, they fill up and then they get, you know, disillusioned and then they go empty. So they have to have another. I think one of the sad things is, to my mind, the way it occurs to me is an evangelistic drive from the church is really not a necessary thing. They ought to have active members and active adult Christians that are out there living in such a way that people are walking in constantly and wanting to be evangelized, you know. But instead, we got a bunch of beaters, like when they hunt game in Africa, you know, they send beaters out, beat the brush and drive them in there, and that's kind of the way it works, and it shouldn't work that way. I mean, there should be such a thing as our light so shine that they come in of their own accord. You know, you don't have to drag them. So, and I think that's the key to continued growth and the depth, you know, deep and wide. It's one of those songs you learned in Sunday school. You know, they got the width thing figured out, but there's no depth. You know, it's just they're out of their depth, because the minute anything comes along, they curl up and go away from God in the mainstream churches. You know, it's and that's corporatist churches. We've got all these churches that are incorporated and everything else, and you're back to that corporatism again. And corporatism is all about making money and influence and your brand identity and your right. franchise and all those sort of things. And that's what we see in these modern day churches. I mean, it's going on all the time. So it's just a money making venture. It's just a social club. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with Christians being social, but the problem is we have people that are being social by calling themselves Christians. They're not being Christians and being social. You know, there's a difference. It's the focus point. And it changes that whole feel, the whole growth element. There's just no depth.
Amen.
Well, that's by definition. The church is the call down. Well, you don't go to church. You are the church or you aren't. And there's really good to have fellowship. So iron sharpens iron. You know, look how sweet Bronson was to us in the past. You know, we just craved that, you know, because we didn't have it. But the church is the called out one. You don't go to church. You either are or you aren't, you know, and there's really no room for denominationalism in Christianity either. You either you aren't. Now, we manifest ourselves in different ways. Farmer, right. A carpenter, whatever you are, but, you know, this denominationalism is just, what's the greatest thing in war? Divide and conquer. You want to get an argument in the past, you talk about religion and politics, you can either get better or worse real quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Well, and I can remember hearing that growing up in job sites and stuff. But we don't talk about it, really, religion or politics. And it's like, well, it's pretty much, yeah, the two most important things in life are that, but not unless it's pure religion. You're absolutely right. And I appreciate what you said about being a church. I believe that 100%. The church is not an address. It's bound up in the hearts and souls and spirits of men. And they are the church everywhere you go. So I had that conversation with one of my sons. He said, well, that's not my business, you know, or something. And he was talking about work, and I said, your business is everything you do. That's you. I mean, it's your home, it's your family, it's your work that you do to provide for them. That the whole package is your business. You know, I mean, if you want to look at it that way or use that kind of wording, but everything you do affects your economic, spiritual and physical environment, and you have to look at it like that. It's not, well, I go over here and punch the clock and that's my business, and when I come home that's something different. You know, it's a whole package thing, and it's all wrapped up. Your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, your relationship with your money, all those things are together, you know. So it's what creates a whole person. Otherwise, you're fragmented, you know, and you've got all those walls in your mind that it changes the way that you respond and react to things.
That's right.
Not in a good way.
And that corporate religion has pushed that, hey, we'll take care of this religion stuff. You know, they haven't pushed and promoted, like you said, Paul, that ecclesia, that called out, that it's that you are the church. And you're absolutely right, Tim. Man, talk about iron sharpening iron. Man, that is exactly, it like the call of the Great Commission. That's not just for the black-robed person to do. That's not just for the person in the pulpit to do. That is for all of us, just like all of the Scripture is for all of us to, you know, to share the gospel in the workplace, in the schools, in your circle of people that are around, that you're around. Anyway, yeah, that's what it is. Well, Remnant, we've got a few minutes left. 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call in. And Tim, you had something?
No, I started, Tim said something about going down to the lady going down to the school board and stuff, you know, and I don't personally think that's ever going to work, because this system has to go. Now, I left the church I was raised in after 37 years. Timothy, it says, we're having a form of godliness, they die in the power of Jesus Christ, from such withdraw thyself. I think you got to pull the kids out of school and just let that system collapse personally. You're not saving it. There is no saving. There's nothing to save. This is a mess.
Oh, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, Paul. I really do. I just meant, the thing I think, though, is a lot of times it's a progressive thing for people to come to the truth and the light, you know. And I mean, when you see...
Well, I agree with you 100%. I agree with 100%, because that could have been me. If you know, you're going to fix this system, you're not going to fix it. That's my point. And
exactly.
There's some really good things. These mothers go down there and, you know, get right in these school boards' face, and that's really a good sign.
Yeah.
It really is. But they have nothing to offer you anyway. That school board don't have nothing, because they are politically motivated and financed and everything else. So the thing to do is come out of it and let it fall, my take on it. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think you are correct. I mean, I tell people all the time, they're like, well, we need to fix this problem. We need to fix this. And I go, it's not broken. It's doing exactly
yes.
what they designed
right.
it to do.
Right.
You know, but you're going to have to go beat your head on it until you figure that out. And then you're going to come to a different conclusion, and your motivation's going to change, and so are your actions, you know. But I also realize that it's a, and God can do that, and God does. I mean, you see people that's to a 180, you know, they turn around and come back and get on the road to doing it God's way. But some folks are a little more stubborn about it. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
They just want the leeks and the onions out of Egypt, and they want to go back to Egypt.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, no, let's go to the promised land. There's
yeah.
a third option.
Amen to that. And it is, Tim, you know, it is part of that awakening. You know, when you have a parent that goes from not even knowing when the school board meets, okay, and not caring, when they move from that position to looking up when they meet, taking time, going down to the school board, finding out, and you know, probably attend a meeting or two before they voice their opinion, then they wake up a little more to where they're so outraged they're going to get up there and speak. That's a further awakening. And the first thing is, hey, this is wrong. This needs to change, on and on and on. And then before long, that person, they wake up and see that, you know, it is banging their head against the wall. It is not doing any good. That, like you said, Paul, that school board has nothing for them, and they don't care about them one whit. And then that parent that not too long ago didn't even know there was a school board, before you know it, that parent is pulling their kid out of school and making life changes to homeschool that child. I have seen that right here in our community. I don't know when the school board meets, to we're going to the meeting, to we spoke and it didn't do any good, and we don't see any changes, and then before you know it, there's hey, we can do this Christian curriculum at home. And that's where they're at. And that is encouraging, because that's a change. That's a huge change that is going on all over this country, and that's a good thing. It is. It is, Paul. There are, as you said, there are people that are coming out of it, that are, maybe they've tried to offer ways to fix or improve, And they see that, well, you said it, Tim, but it's chugging along just fine. It's hitting on all 12 cylinders, this ungodly system, especially the public fool system. It is. It is doing exactly as intended. And as people see that, some of them are saying, you know, I don't want any part of that, and I'm backing out. And they have, and that's a good thing. And it's just going to be that remnant. You know, that's another understanding that goes contrary to anything you hear in these Judeo-Christian churches. It is just a remnant that is going to be saved, that is going to repent, that is going to return. Just a remnant.
Yeah, we don't really know how many of those people that came out of the Egyptian captivity were that remnant. They saved the rest of them. I mean, God thinned them down when they were wandering around in the wilderness, you know. But I'm sure there were a lot of ride for free, right? Because it was in vogue, or it was just a thing to do. I was like, well, I guess, you know, we'll just go along for the ride. And, you know, you have that happen. But the remnant is the one that God does it all for, and he's the one that they save. And I guess if they're riding on their coattails, so to speak, why, they get the benefits of it too. And so does the rest of the land. But, you know, because we know that even after they were in the promised land, there were some of them there that didn't follow God's law, and they broke the rules, and they took things that they shouldn't have taken, or judged because of it. So I think that it's kind of like, I'm always reminded of in the New Testament when Christ said, the poor you have with you always. And I think that a lot of times it's not just poor financially. I think it could mean poor in spirit, poor yes. In will and everything else. Those people are there, and that doesn't change. Why are we here doing this radio show? It's not because we're great. It's not because we're the wonders of the kingdom. It's because I guess God decided he was going to use us, just like he did any of the other people that he used throughout the Bible. And I'm not claiming to be up to their standards or up to the things that they've done. But God uses, he says he uses the foolish and some of the other things. So, you know, when we see that, well, hey, maybe your humility should kick in, you know, and you ought to be like, yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord, for using me.
That's right. I am qualified as why he's using me, Tim, because he calls, as you said, the weak and the foolish. And it's like, well, that counts me in, and you're absolutely right. It's just the avenue. It's just the way that it is. But it doesn't take away from any of us sharing any of this with, like I said before, our coworkers, our neighbors, our family, our friends, our people that, you know, the people that we see, the people that we know. It is on each and every one of us.
Well, it's a whole lot easier to talk to people now than it was 10 years ago, let me tell you.
Man, I was thinking
that
same thing.
They might look at
you. Yes.
They might look at you in the headlights, but at least they're listening for a change.
Yep, that's right.
Amen. Yeah,
I
agree. And they're asking questions. You know, it's kind of like, wait
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like you said, Tim, you started out saying, you know, you've got people asking you, hey, what's going on? What do you think about what's going on in the Ukraine? You know, because they're wanting to know. You know, seeds have been planted, and they are. People are asking questions, and it's not just about those world events, but that certainly seems to be on most people's minds. It really does.
A guy told me a story this week, and in both actions, but you go back to Pearl Harbor, and what they did to Pearl Harbor, the Japanese, 2 weeks before Pearl Harbor, they put sanctions on them, shut their money off and the fuel off to them, and they didn't have no fuel. So the kamikazes were given enough fuel to get to that ship, and they said, then dump it, because they couldn't get back. But they put sanctions on them. See, and what did they just do to Russia? They put sanctions on them. They want to start a war. They want this to happen. And he told me another story, and I don't know if it's all true, but the Biden, Hunter, and had ties to the Ukraine with corruption, and now they don't want that to get out. But somebody wants to start a war and get people killed. And I don't know exactly what's going on there, but it's not as it appears, let me tell you.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely it is. You know, it was...
There's more than one element there, for sure.
Right. Yeah, it was in 2014 when they, whoever it is, Zelensky or whatever, the president of Ukraine was put in. And that was basically a coup, and he was fully supported by the Obama administration. And... and then, yeah, the corruption that has been there, $50,000 a month for Hunter Biden for sitting on the Ukraine gas board. And that was just what we found out about, and that there were so many of the U.S. Senators and representatives and stuff that had children like that, that are on that board, that are getting paid off. I mean, it's just as simple as that. The corruption is so deep. And that's just the beginning. It is. It absolutely is. And so it's, you know, I think that Kiev is getting bombed. I heard a quote from President Biden yesterday. He said, yeah, you know, Putin may bomb Kiev, he said, but he'll never win the hearts and minds of those Iranian people. And you know, that's just the place that we're at. You know, the leadership that we have is meant, it's like that public fool system. It's hitting on all 12 cylinders, and it is chugging along right the way it's supposed to be. I think that, you know, people are dying over there, that they are being bombed, and that those things are going on, but the reasoning behind it is not what you're hearing on Fox News, much less some of the other places.
Well, you know, I hear people shoot Putin, you know, but, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but, you know, he was against queers and everything wrong, you know, a few years ago. It sounded to me like he was right on, you know, and I think they're trying to back him into a corner, so he's got to fight, so, and he will eventually.
Well, he sure is public enemy number one right now, and so we have learned that when the media and the ungodly media, the Antichrist media, and the Antichrist governments, when they are pointing at somebody, telling you that they're evil, you better go, right? The bad people call evil might not be evil.
Yeah, the Bible says they call evil good and good evil.
That's
and,
right.
You know, one of the other interesting things, I was reading some history about Crimea and some of those areas. Gorbachev was from Ukraine. Isn't that interesting? I don't know the significance of it, but he was a Ukrainian. I mean, it's like, So the history of that, though, if you go back to the 1800s and start looking up the Crimea area and Ukraine, you're going to find out some interesting things, because they were using it they wanted to make it a Jewish homeland. Back in around the turn of the century in the 1900s. I mean, there was a whole bunch of things that went on there that were very, very interesting stuff. And how that affects what's going on, I don't really know, but it's just the first thing I did was go back and read the history back from the 1800s forward, because I was kind of interested in. And then you got to ask, whose history am I reading? You know, who wrote it?
Right.
There's some interesting things there.
There are. There's more going on than meets the eye, than the media is putting out, that's for sure. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thank you, you men, for joining this morning. And Remnant, we thank you for joining us. And remember, we're having church tomorrow, good Lord willing. And I don't think the roads will be closed. Hope not. And so we invite you to come to church with us. 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And that's at scripturesforamerica.org. You can click on the live video stream, and we encourage you to join us for church. And guys, we'll see you there tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.